As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred back with you on today's coolest conversations throwback in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Remember to follow and subscribe, rate and review. The Wayback Machine dropped us off on Friday, January the 6th, 2015, for my interview with Kelly Ogden of the Dolly Rots. This is the first of several we did together, and since the beginning of this year, Kelly has joined our on-air staff as a disc jockey here in the Underground Garage. We talk about the early years of the band, including how she met her future bandmate and husband, Lewis, while they were both in high school in Florida. We also speak about the indie labels they were on, like Lookout and Joan Jett's Blackheart label, prior to going a DIY route. These days, they're on Wicked Cool Records. She and her husband, Lewis, are also parents, and we talk about balancing family and rocking. Their coolest song of the week at this time was Come and Get It. So let's give some of that a listen to get us in the mood, and then I'll be back with Kelly Ogden on our Coolest Conversations throwback, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Back with the Mighty Manfred, and it is time for our coolest conversations. And today, we are very, very lucky indeed to have Kelly Ogden from the Dolly Rots on the line. How are you, Kelly?
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, you guys have been around since like 2000 or maybe before that, because I heard that you and Lewis, the guitarists, have known each other since like eighth grade. Is that right?
Yeah, we met in eighth grade and started the band. It's kind of funny. We started the band pretty late, our last year of college. So we were friends for a long time. He was the weird kid that would bring a guitar to school. And so I was trying to impress a boy in another band. And I was like, hey, you know, Lewis, do you think you could teach me to play guitar? And I had an acoustic guitar. And he came over and he was like, yeah, but I can't teach you to play that hippie crap. You're going to have to learn Nirvana. He brought, what was it? The first thing I learned was About a Girl. And then he taught me like Ramones songs and the Donnas. That's what we started on.
Wow, so. That is cool. So about how old were you then when you first started playing?
I was 16 and I was learning guitar, but then, you know, I'm a bass player now because throughout the course of the band, we had a bass player who kind of bailed on us. And so we had a show 2 weeks later and everyone kind of looked at me and they're like, well, we don't really need a rhythm guitarist, do we? They're like, Kelly, you could learn to play bass, right? I was like, oh my God. So I had 2 weeks and I think that's kind of why I play bass the way I do. I kind of go at it in a strummy way more than a finger plucking way. I play with a pick and I just kind of play it like a rhythm guitar. I use a lot of fingers on my left hand that shouldn't be used if I were playing technically correct.
Well, I think you're playing just fine myself.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. So this was in Florida. So then you guys decided to move to Los Angeles or to Southern California. And you've been in Southern California since then, is that right?
Yeah, we moved there about 12 years ago. And our parents totally freaked out because I got a biology degree and Lewis was pre-med, and you know, our futures looked very bright in our parents' eyes. And we said, you know, we're going to take a year off and go to California. We'll establish residency, and then we swear we're going to go to grad school, and Lewis will go to med school once we do that. And I'm sure they knew what was going to happen. We got there, and you know, we started playing shows immediately. We worked lots of weird jobs doing petitioning for signatures outside the grocery stores and door-to-door canvassing for political causes. Things that I look back on now, I was like, oh my gosh, those were kind of crazy times. I worked at a juice bar. But anyway, we played a lot of shows, and we got involved in a scene called Kids for Kill. And then we went out on an audition randomly and got our first commercial, which was a Hewlett-Packard ad. And once that happened, that was within our first year there. And I think when that happened, we kind of felt like, wait a minute, so we might actually be able to do this for real. And so we started taking it very seriously. And I mean, we worked full time and we did the band pretty much full time. And so, you know, life was kind of crazy, but it was wonderful and awesome. And we had so many opportunities that came to us, I think, from just being in Los Angeles and putting ourselves out there all the time. And so that was 12 years ago. Our first record came out 10 years ago this year. So it's kind of wild how fast the time went by, but parents are happy now.
Well, I was going to ask about that too. And I think that a lot of the success is pretty great because in general, you know, there's just no middle class in popular music and rock and roll, certainly even and less than there ever was. But you guys seem to be getting as much from it as you can and certainly put in the work.
Yeah, try and come up with new ways to do it all the time. So
the first album was on Lookout, and then they folded and you guys went on Joan Jett's Blackheart label. How would you compare the two experiences between those record labels?
It was a little bit different. I mean, Lookout, when we joined that team over there, they were doing something different. Like, we knew of them growing up as a punk rock label. It was, you know, Green Day and Offspring and, you know, the Donnas and all these bands that, you know, we looked up to. The Ghoulies, they took us on our first tour. And Lookout at that point had kind of gone, you know, more toward like indie rock. And so they had a little side project going called Panic Button. That was a Screeching Needle dude label. And so, you know, we had a main point guy. His name's Jeff. He's awesome. And, you know, it was a small operation, much like Blackheart. But it didn't have Joan Jett. And it didn't have, you know, the years and years of experience breaking a band or doing a lot of things that Blackheart did, like, you know, radio promo. And Blackheart really worked hard to get the music out there for us. And, you know, working with Joan Jett was a life-changing experience for us to have the opportunity to even meet somebody that has inspired what you do, let alone work with them and learn from them. This is something that you can dream of usually, but it doesn't actually happen most of the time.
So since leaving Blackheart, you guys have been putting out records yourselves, and that's with Kickstarter. What's the good and bad things about just doing it all yourself?
I think without the backbone of having released our first few records on labels, and especially without having the experience of being on Blackheart, I don't know that we would have a strong enough fan base. And I think by working with indie labels, we learned a lot about how a small record label works and what goes into it. And, you know, we saw the good and the bad of both things there. And so I think moving forward on our own, it's a lot more work than I think people realize. But at the same time, you know, we're running it like a small business. And that's kind of crazy because we're supposed to be crazy rock and rollers. But, you know, there's definitely a balance. And I think it's just the amount of work is kind of crazy. We do a lot of mail order. And at this point, we're doing most of the tracking of our albums on our own. Lewis he's engineered and recorded our last couple of releases. And then we take them to John Fields, our regular producer. And he, you know, puts on the finishing touches and mixes it for us. But yeah, you know, we've been doing probably 90% of it on our own at this point. And, mm-hmm. you know, we work late into the night and wake up early in the morning most days. But it's definitely something that we're both still completely driven to do. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
So Because I'm Awesome, that's the first Blackheart album. And that song, I guess we can call it your first hit. Do you still like playing that song?
I do. I mean, it's not something that will ever get old to me, because it's just full of such happy memories, and it's a reminder that music can mean so much to so many people. We still have people every day discover our band and tell us things like, "Oh, I'm going through a really hard time, but that song really pumps me up," or "I'm going out on a first date and I played that song," and you know, it's just knowing that something that we wrote could be that powerful in so many lives is really, really, it's really cool. And playing it, I may not think about it, you know, it's kind of an autopilot song at this point, but it's still a lot of fun to sing those words and perform. And, you know, now I just kind of daydream and I look at the crowd when I sing it and watch them sing along, and that's cool too.
Well, you are a mom now. And yeah, I'm a dad, so I totally know how all that stuff happens. And you've got this little person in your life. How does that affect the dynamics of the band?
Well, Lewis and I, we've been together for quite some time now. When we decided, all right, it's time to do the baby thing, you know, how are we going to manage the band and the baby? I dragged my feet for a good couple of years before I was like, all right, I'll do it. And, you know, Lewis was like, just trust me, you know, once we have the baby, we're going to figure it out. We'll figure it out and everything's going to be okay. And so we kind of went into it with blind faith, you know, just assuming that like everything else we've done, we would figure it out. And to be honest, he's fit in pretty perfectly up to this point. I mean, he's now running around, and you know, I have a lot less time to devote to the band stuff, and so Lewis and I will kind of tag each other in and be like, all right, tag, I need to go do something, you go watch over. And you know, we'll have help, you know, here and there, so we can record and do things like that where we both need to work at the same time. But we just got back from a tour in the UK with Buzzcocks, and it was a 3-week tour. And of course he was with us, and it was awesome. It made touring a lot of fun for me again, because for a while there it was just, you know, we had been touring for more than 10 years, and it's not that it gets old, but you know, it's a tough life at times, and it can be lonely, and it's physically grueling, and you know, all those things. But bringing him along, especially in England, was just, it was a breath of fresh air, and it was a lot of fun. And in a lot of ways, it's really weird when people think I'm crazy. It was a lot easier than being at home with him, because we had such a great routine. Like, we would wake up in the hotel every day, we would eat breakfast, and we would drive for, you know, the drives in England are so short. We drive a little bit, take a break, eat lunch, get to the venue. His nap schedule was perfect. He would nap once during a drive, and he would nap at sound check every day. He would fall asleep while we sound checked with his little gun muffle on, and then he would fall asleep right around our set time. So it really worked out great. And my sister came along to help be our tour nanny. So
you've got the perfect child, basically, for rock and roll.
Yeah, I think he just knew from the start. I mean, he was born when we were doing our Christmas, like our merch sale last year. So he woke up to the sounds of packing tape and music, and we recorded the whole last record, Barefoot and Pregnant, while I was pregnant. So he hears those songs and he smiles and he dances. And I think he just knows somehow deep down inside that, you know, this is our life and he likes it. Thank God.
Well, before Barefoot and Pregnant got recorded, you guys had done an acoustic album, and forgive me for not knowing this, but did that acoustic album ever come out?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we released it like yesterday. I mean, it was a digital release that we gave to fans who supported our last two crowdfunding things. So anybody who was part of Kickstarter or our Pledge Music campaign for Barefoot and Pregnant, they got it as a bonus. But we hadn't really made a big deal about it, because as soon as we finished recording it, we were recording Barefoot and Pregnant, and then that came out. And so we just pressed it up and got it yesterday in the mail. And it's a really, really cool record. I mean, it was recorded entirely in our apartment by Lewis. It was the first thing that he recorded, you know, all of ours, all on our own. And the songs are really special because they were songs that fans asked us to write. So it's our fan stories or our fans' requests. Like, there's a song about Cthulhu, and there's a Star Wars love song, and there's a zombie love song. And, you know, it's There's a song about how awesome this guy Barry we know is. And it's just really, really cool because they're songs that wouldn't have necessarily come out of us organically. And so we had to put ourselves in their place or, you know, sing as if we are Cthulhu. And so it was a really fun exercise, especially before writing our next record, because we were in a good writing groove. And, you know, Lewis kind of got his engineering skills down before it was time to do the big record. So
you guys really have a great rapport with your fans. You mentioned them giving suggestions for songs for the acoustic record, and I know that you guys did a for around Thanksgiving. You did a version of the Turkey Trot. And you got in the video. You see all the different fans are dancing the Turkey Trot. That's just so great. But man, you know, maintaining all this the stuff. Where, you know, you got the little family life going on. No wonder you don't get any sleep.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's happy crazy. And really, our fans, I think that's been the biggest benefit of doing the crowdsourcing versus being on a record label. You know, the two of us have been, me and Lewis, we have to be the ones in touch with our fans all the time. I mean, we do all our own social media, we do our mail order, you know, so every day we're directly communicating with our fans, and they know that they can send us emails or talk to us on Twitter. And I feel like having that relationship, it almost seems like, you know, in Renaissance time where we have all these benefactors of our art. And I think that it means more to them too, because they're actually a part of our life. And I mean, we have people's addresses memorized and we know people's Twitter handles, and it's really a cool relationship for us, because we're not just making music in a bubble. We're making music that, you know, directly reflects our fans' lives and is something that we know they want from us.
So it's not as much a fan base as an extended family.
It really feels that way, yeah. When River was born, he got so many cards and gifts from fans. It was really, really amazing. And then the day he was born, we took screenshots just so someday he could see how many people already loved him, like, the day that he came out. Because it was really a celebration for our fans and for us. And so it's been cool having him along, I think, for them, too. Because I was worried, I was like, oh no, we can't post baby pictures on the band's Instagram. But they asked for it. And it's like, all right, well, if they want to know what we're doing and, you know, how we put him in the pack and play and record vocals, then, you know, we'll let them see that. So it's really cool.
Well, Kelly, thanks so much for speaking with me today as part of our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you.
And let's listen to another track off of Barefoot and Pregnant. We're going to go out with Nightlight. Nightlight here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
These goodbyes tear me to bits. You leave a black hole, empty space. You smell your touch, so much to miss. At least in dreams, I could kiss your face. Time and space separate. Just close your eyes. Take my hand, don't be afraid, 'cause I will be your nightlight in the dark. Even from far away, this song beats with the rhythm of my heart. When it hurts too much to bear, feel your heart beating inside. Put your hand right on your chest.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Told it in the spice, baby, diamond ring.